the drive. Okay, so I am recording this, audio recording this. If anyone... Yeah, overdrive. Yeah, so I'm recording this session. It's audio recorded. If you don't want to appear on the audio recording, put your hand up or change your voice somehow. Maybe put on a funny accent.
Or so, write it down and give it to me now.
And I'm going to ask Lloyd here just to point that end at anyone who's talking.
Sure.
So, how many... I'm going to tell you a story. My name's Terence Eden. I do lots of things, but for the purposes of this talk, I am a hacker. I'm the good, friendly kind of hacker. I make new things with technology. I'm also the ever so slightly naughty sort of hacker who goes around and says, I wonder if I can break that, and sort of taps on it and goes, oh, look, it's broken. So a few years ago, my wife and I went on the holiday of our lifetime. We've been saving up a while. We thought we're going to have a lovely, long, three-week break in the Caribbean. And it was going to be the holiday of dreams. And what do you do when you're going on holiday? You take as many books as you can. The first holiday we ever went on together, one suitcase was books, the other was clothes. We're that sort of couple. But we decided that this is unsustainable. Can't carry a whole suitcase full of books. So I thought, well, I've got myself a Kindle, which I shall show you.
That's
here.
The first problem.
Well, in this case, it's a generic e-reader, but I shall say Kindle for the purposes of this story, which is lovely. And I thought, I'm going to get all of my books electronically on this. Brilliant, wonderful. And I did. So my wife and I both had different e-readers, and so this is perfect, because you can sit by the pool, it doesn't take up too much space. So went to Woking Library. Woking Library is brilliant. Surrey Libraries are fantastic. And they said, we've got this brand new system, you can digitally borrow books using OverDrive. I went, great. And I said, there's few problems, or rather I discovered a few problems. The first is, the maximum period you can borrow a book for is 2 weeks. I'm going on holiday for 3 weeks, so what do I do with the third week? Usually if I go to a library, I either say, can I get a long loan on this? Or I say, can you pretend that I rang you up and extended the loan? And the library says, yeah, that's fine. OverDrive, no, you can't do that. Now, the second thing is, when I borrow a book, I'm also borrowing it for my family and anyone who's around. And if I finish it, I go to my wife, you must read this, it's brilliant! And she picks up, but you can't do that with an e-book. You can't transfer it from one to the other. And it got me thinking that this is silly. You know, these are digital files. The thing which really... I can say pissed off here, can't I? No, no one's going to get... Okay.
Yes.
The thing which really pissed me off was there was a book I wanted to borrow, and it said, 2 copies available, both checked out. And I thought, hang on a moment. You have 2 digital copies, and this makes... No, hands up anyone who thinks this makes sense. No.
It makes sense, but it's not OverDrive. It's not
OverDrive. No. This is the publishers. I quite agree with that. Anyway.
The
library don't do anything about it. Yeah. They just accept it.
Yeah. So
we could fight
join
that
together and just say
well,
no.
We are. That's why we've all put in. Whether they take any notes of it. Surrey has put in. I'm not sorry. And we did a reply to this review that's supposed to be coming out.
Stick up.
Yeah. Any moment soon.
So what I want to do is.
What? It's all about profit, isn't it?
What I want to do is I want to show you something, then I want to prove something to you, and then I want to have a discussion about where this leaves us as librarians and patrons of libraries. So the first thing I'm going to do is break the DRM on OverDrive and show you just how easy it is. So this is The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo by Steers Larson.
Everybody,
you should all go. It's
round.
One of the most borrowed books, I think, along with Harry Potter and everything else. And this is it. I have borrowed it into my Adobe Digital Edition, so I have legitimately gone to Surrey Libraries. You can all do this. I'm going to show you how. So the first thing I want to tell you is, it's all right. There are donuts to in just a second. So the first thing you have to remember, and this is just to show you. So when you borrow a digital book, it's an EPUB. Now an EPUB, which you can see there, the girl with the dragon tattoo. An EPUB is just a zip file with its name changed. So if I open it, you can see there I've got all the folders. If I open that, you can see all the chapters. And if I open up chapter 9, this is all gobbledygook. This has all been encrypted. So this is chapter... Because of DRM, it's all encrypted. So this is what I am going to do. So I have here a little program which runs on Mac, PC, and Linux. This is Linux, but this will run on anything. You see that there? Now, I just have to do it like this so that you can all see. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to pick up the book. So my digital editions.
So this is special software.
This is special software, but anyone can get this. I will be telling everyone the name of this in just a second. So there's the EPUB file there. So where are we? So let's open up this EPUB. Dun, 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 dun. So you just have to find it in your file system. There we go, the girl with the dragon tattoo EPUB. Now I'm going to save it in the same folder just to make it easy for everyone to see. And I'm going to call it Girl with a Dragon Tattoo Decrypted, because I'm a hacker and that's what we say. Now I want you to watch very carefully because
decrypted.
Gotcha. Because this bit is really technical and really complicated. Okay, stop laughing. So what I do is I hit the I'm going to hit the decrypt button. Okay, now watch what happens. This takes quite a long time. Yeah, that was it.
Do I have a decrypt button?
You will have a decrypt button. So so there we go. So there we have the girl with the dragon tattoo decrypt. Now if I open it, if I change that to .zip just so you can all see, I can open it. Open there. Let's open chapter 9. Monday 6, Wednesday 8. Blomskvisks kept reading until the small hours. Well, that might as well be encrypted, but that's chapter 9 of The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, and that can now be copied onto any e-reader. And if you now, you'll know that if you have OverDrive, it doesn't work with Kindles yet, but this can now...
It does with the Kindle Fire.
With the Kindle Fire, yes. If you've got the e-ink Kindle, it doesn't work. Now, what this allows you to do is, this is just text, so you can transform it from EPUB text to Kindle text. So if you are like me and you have a Kindle, you can borrow books from your library, take off the DRM, put them on your Kindle, and read them. Now,
a Nook,
yes, works with your Nook, which
it's
is what I've got.
Anyway,
but if you're going off on holiday for 3 weeks and your library only allows 2 weeks, you can just break the DRM. Now, this is very simple. I can show you the websites. Basically, any 13-year-old boy or girl has already done this.
Yeah.
But
yeah, that they've done this. So
exactly.
Like, well, I can't
so
show you how.
I want to. Now, a lot of people say, well, you know, it's not really DRM. So DRM stands for Digital Restrictions Management. Mm-hmm. And it's a way of saying, we're going to lock this file. Now, I'm going to prove to you that DRM can never work. This isn't a problem with OverDrive's DRM. This is if any library services person comes to you and says, we have the world's best DRM, it can never be broken. So I want. Who's the most trustworthy person here? Stick your hands up. Jody, you look particularly trustworthy. Are you ready? Right. Now, everyone can see these Krispy Kremes have been securely locked. Okay? Can everyone see that? These Krispy Kremes. Like, can you just pull
nothing
on that lock?
Sleeves,
just
nothing up here.
Nothing. I want you to take these Krispy Kremes. Right, you have now borrowed these Krispy Kreme donuts from me. Okay? Can everyone see that? Now, here's what I want you to do. Those are securely locked with DRM. Now, you, Jody, presumably you would like a donut, wouldn't you? Definitely would. So how's Jodie going to get into the Krispy Kreme? She needs a key. So now, listen, this is how library OverDrive DRM works. Jodie, you have been granted these Krispy Kreme donuts. They are locked securely. I'm going to give you the key, but you have to promise not to share any of those donuts with anyone else, and you are only allowed to eat one. Do you promise? She promises, so I'll give her the key. Can anyone spot the tiny little flaw with this problem? Now, I'm sure Jodie is incredibly trustworthy and would never do anything to break the law. This is the point. Once you give someone a locked file, which is what DRM is, and then give them the key, you are trusting them. Mm. Now, I'm sure everyone who uses your library is entirely trustworthy, but many people aren't. So. No, so, original glaze. Now remember, you're only allowed to eat one and you're not allowed to share those with anyone else. Okay, promise? She's promised, so that's fine. If she starts passing them around, that's the equivalent of file sharing. So what you will have
piracy.
Seen, piracy, as some people call it.
Do you want to put the key? Do we have to put the lock back on?
No, you don't worry. As long as I can get the lock and the key. Now I get this back, and as far as I'm concerned, well, this lock hasn't been broken into at all. Look, it's still secure, and I've got the key back. Everyone's happy. So if you've ever visited a website like The Pirate Bay, or Kickoff Torrents, or eBookie, or eBook Torrents, or Torrent Reactor, or even just if you go onto Twitter, type in the name of your favourite author,
followed by
EPUB or Mobi, you'll be able to download it. So
download what?
You'll be able to download a book which you can read on your Kindle, on your Nook, on your
Somebody's
Mac.
Already done
Someone's already cracked this.
I'll
do
it for free.
Yep. So I shall talk about that in a second. So here's the thing that I want to talk about. So well, we're recording it, so we will email them all.
Is there enough for everyone?
You see, there's a couple of things I want to talk about. We have this notion of digital of.
Keep them moving.
We have this notion of artificial scarcity. Now, what that means is, in the real world, we only have 12 donuts. And once those 12 donuts are eaten, that's it. No one can have any more donuts. In the digital world, we have one donut, but we can copy it as many times as we like. And this leads us to a situation where publishers say, well, I only want two people to borrow this book.
Someone's brought their own donut.
Who's brought their own donut? I hope you're going to share it with everyone. So my question, the point I want to raise, which I hope will lead to discussion, is what I've done is not legal. It's probably not illegal, as in it's a civil crime, I think, rather than a criminal crime, although that may change in the future. I don't know. Please don't arrest me. It's all a lie if you're listening on the tape. It's not. I'm not a lawyer. This is not legal advice.
There's
someone forcing me under duress. So here's, and sorry, libraries have been very good. I have pointed out to them about this before. So here's the thing. And let's be really stereotypical. Every teenage boy who is borrowing books from your library is now criminalised. And they're looking at you and thinking, these people don't know what the hell they're talking about. Why can't I need to borrow I need to borrow this e-book for 3 weeks because I'm revising for my GCSEs. I can't. Well, I'm going to crack it, obviously.
Well, that's the question, is it okay to put the lock on the donuts in the first place?
Mm.
Yeah. And we get to ask that. As librarians, our job, or I was under the impression, is to encourage reading. It's not. It's to encourage reading. That's what
2 weeks we put on.
There's lots of questions around that.
Well, I can tell you,
with the publishers, what's their reason, what's our reason, and what is going to happen? What's really going to happen?
Let's just try and keep this in one month. So your question is,
is it okay to lock the file in the way they do? They have a reason they do that.
Mm-hmm.
Commercial.
Is what's going to happen in the real world in any way compatible with that rule?
Mm.
Business rule, to make money, we do this. Real world, real people, real knowledge, they don't match anymore.
Now
no one's willing to...
For my mind, the public lending right, and someone will correct me here, is like 6p a go or something like that.
Yeah.
And that also applies to digital books as well.
There's no PLR.
They don't. That's interesting.
There's no public PLR on these books. That's why.
Well, that's interesting. So what I was going to ask is, if someone wants to download The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, as I've just done, from their local library, and they see there are only two copies available, there are only two copies held at the library, and there are none available, what are they going to do? They're going to go to Google, type in Girl with the Dragon Tattoo ebook, and download it anyway, outside of the library. So immediately, you are training future visitors to the library to go elsewhere. It would be like, you know...
Lucky if they're looking in the library in the first
place. Well, this is it. If they're good, if they're well brought up, young ladies and gentlemen, then hopefully... But this is it. Part of it is, do you need good SEO, good search engine optimization, so that if someone's typing in, you know, Derren Brown, Trick of the Mind, that their library is going to come up. Are you going into schools and saying, if you want to borrow an ebook, come to us? And then, are you prepared for what's going to happen when people say, I can break the rules of the library pretty much with impunity? What does that do for a generation of people growing up, or people like me who have allegedly grown up already, when they know that not only are the rules trivial to break, but there's no consequence of doing them?
Well, looking, going further back, say 20, 30 years or so, to blank tapes.
Hmm.
Don't forget, that was going to be the end of the music industry. That was it. And when VHS came out, that was it for film. The movie industry was in apoplexy. This cannot be. This is against everything that we've done. Whinged and mourned, and then 20 years later, went, oh, actually, we've made more money from that than we do from the initial... Hmm. If you can adapt the technology, if you can use it yourself, if you as the publisher, instead of just immediately going, oh, no, No. Work with it and trying to find different ways around it there. I mean, there's a whole new school of publishing coming out. That local publishers and the... I mean, 50 Shades of Grey is an amazing example of that. That's set off as... Everybody, you can have it, you know, everybody wants a copy of that, I just want you. And as an author, if an author is an artist, then the artist, I was under the impression, wanted as many people to get as much access, as many to get as much to their gift to the world, as it were. Now, if you're not, if you're, oh, no, it's all about money, then fair enough, but you can't call yourself an artist, you can't call yourself, or at least in the same way that somebody who really wants that, if there is somebody who just wants to be heard, who wants to get their message out, then, who and who's more righteous, who's more, you know, I know where I stand on that one, I know which one, which author I'm going to link to, whether it is, I'm not going to say Shu Rain or a Terry Deary and make it just as clear-cut as that with a recent one there. But there's a real case for that, where I've got more respect, a lot more respect, for the author who says, I don't care, I want to get my word out there, I want to get my word. And looking at bands as well recently, this is what more bands are doing now. You sod the publishing rights, you make your money from your T-shirts, your gigs, and you might not make as much. But also, one of the problems is that the industry isn't making as much. And the difference between the artist and the artist industry, you know, where as soon as when industry gets its claws into it there, when industry gets into... And it's, you know, this has been a problem for the past, well, however many hundred years.
You're saying in music, the music industry is making more money now than it was. The music recording industry is
Yeah. I mean, I'm correct in saying that most musicians... don't make money from copyright, they make money from panel teaching.
That's always good. That's
but there's an interesting question there with authors. So if you've ever seen Cory Doctorow or Neil Gaiman, they actually can charge a premium for people to come and see them, or they can, you know, sell tickets. I'll be appearing in my local library at high school, fiber ticket. But I'm wondering if, for music, that's fairly easy. If you're the Rolling Stones and you can charge £800 a ticket, you know, why do you care if people download your MP3s? But if you're only playing bars, you possibly do. If you're Charles Dickens, for example, you know, Dickens toured America in 18, someone correct me on this, mumble, because his work was being pirated out there. And he knew that if he went out there, people would pay to see him, and he could also sell official copies. But if you're not the 50 Shades of Grey lady or Charles Dickens, if you're someone who's written a good local history book, there perhaps isn't that opportunity. But what I think is, you have to give people the opportunity to be lawful. For example, if hands up if you ever used Napster back in the day, downloaded music. There we go. liar. Anyway, but this is it. There was no legal way to get digital music. Now there is. People still share music, but they also buy it. And because there are legal routes, there are also things which say, as you say, click here to get the band T-shirt or to go and see their gig. And if you're an author, why aren't libraries, for example, saying, OK, we have these digital books, and if you borrow it, here's the link to Waterstones to buy it, or here's where
they're
the author
that.
Is...
Yeah. Are they? They're doing that. Yeah. Overdrive do that already.
But all other things, you know, sign up with the authors.
Because they've only got American bookshops, so for
UK... Even to an extent, pass the hat.
Yeah.
As an author, even to an extent, it's free. If you like it, give me... 99p. I mean, I know that's the 99 cent with
iTunes.
My dad
said 1,000 downloads on his science fiction book since he put it free on Amazon.
So there's 1,000 people who would not have had the opportunity to read.
The other interesting thing with that is authors who publish multiple books. So since I can remember, I've been reading Terry Pratchett books. And never once has Terry Pratchett or the publisher sent me an email or a letter or anything to say, do you know the new book's coming out next week? Get in line and reserve it. I mean... Are they simple? I mean, are they relying on word of mouth? Which, you know, you can do, but why aren't you making your... If someone has borrowed 50 Shades of... Steve Larson's book. Oh, no, he's dead. He's not writing anymore. But who's a good up-and-coming author?
E.L. James, 50 Shades of Grey.
E.L. James, okay, so...
Well, not good, but...
We knew that.
Okay, so... Right, that's
we
not
that
good.
We did that catalogue. When Ian Rankin came to Manchester, we looked at all the borrowers that had borrowed Ian Rankin the last 2 years, and we emailed him. Then that dog book was around, Marley and me.
We looked
at everyone that had borrowed a pet book and then emailed them.
Exactly. And the same with if they've borrowed 50 Shades of Grey digitally, and the new book comes out, 51 Shades of Red or whatever it's going to be, that's when you start emailing them. You start getting them to come back. But... This still boils down to the fact that, Gesundheit, if you're still putting locks on culture, people will break those locks. People pirated Shakespeare, they're going to pirate everything else. And it's kind of your job to say, well, do we accept that people are going to do that and just do it on the nod and the wink? Or do we fight against the publishers and say, you know what, this isn't a good service for our... libraries don't call them customers, but, well, patrons, well, customers.
Yeah. I'll just make the point, you know, you've just gone back to the DRM and locking the information. Either way, it's anti-Enlightenment. Imagine the Enlightenment movement started off with, actually, no, you can't read all these encyclopedias, they're locked away.
That's not what they're for.
Pay me, actually, and you can look at the encyclopedia. Yeah, the idea, actually, is the other way to bring a new Enlightenment and free the books. And actually, who are conspiring to do this and who should be named and shamed? Some of the authors, actually, are quite keen to stop this happen. When they sit down with their publishers in nice restaurants saying, oh, let's do a book deal. Can you make sure that book's locked? I don't want anybody pirating my book. They should be named and shamed. And the people, actually, who promote Cory Doctorow, other authors, who are more open to this, should be promoted by libraries. As a good example.
Nobody's saying that authors should starve. Nobody's saying that artists shouldn't be rewarded for the work.
Yeah.
But that at the moment, it does seem that the system that's evolved is one that sort of limits the majority and promotes a tiny minority there. And that, again, I think the vast majority of authors don't make any money at all in the first place there. But there's a few who also create a lot of fuss and jump and down and shout a lot and say, I mean, I'm thinking maybe not so much for authors there, but another Metallica thing where they made themselves look quite...
I think it was Stephen King as well, the author, has come down very hard on this, which, this is the politics of envy speaking, but considering that, you know, he has now more money than sense, I kind of think that there's no financial incentive for him to keep writing another book. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. He desperately needs another wing to his house. I could be wrong.
Coelho, the alchemist.
Yes.
I think he's released most of his stuff completely DRM-free because he understands that the more people read, the more people read. And it gets back to the library thing as well, where publishers hate libraries because, again, they just see as, all these people reading books aren't... They're not giving me money. We're not getting that.
There's a lovely talk I went to by Neil Stevenson. I'm going to try and do the same experience here. Not Neil Stevenson, Neil Gaiman. Neil Stevenson would be awesome, but think about the favourite book that you've ever read. Did you find that just randomly flicking through the shelves, or did someone go, "You absolutely have to read this"? For the majority of people, it's a friend saying, "You absolutely have to read this. Borrow my copy," and then you go off and buy your own or buy the sequel.
And so, tell other people.
I mean, this is it. When I've got rid of all of this. Some people are going to stone me here. If you look at my blog, I've got rid of about 90% of my paper books and replaced them all with ebooks. And most of the paper books I had, I bought from second-hand shops. Now, as far as I'm aware, the publisher doesn't see a cent. When I buy from a second-hand shop, from the Oxfam, I read it, then I lend it to 10 friends, then I give it back to the Oxfam shop, and the cycle starts again. That's 100 people who've read this book, and only the first person has paid for it. That's a real situation that we're in at the moment. Why would digital be any different? People will always want to go to the authoritative source, and they'll want to, hopefully, kick some money to the author and the publisher, or go through their library if they think it's supporting them. But we have to be very wary of these snake oil salesmen coming along saying, these locks are really secure and these keys are really secure, because they are, but as soon as you give one person the lock and the key at the same time, it's theirs to do with what they want. We've got a little bit of time, so someone had asked me where you can get these tools from. The easiest thing is to go onto Google or Alta Vista or your favourite website and type in how to remove EPUB DRM. And you will find step-by-step guides.
So YouTube guides to it as well.
You go onto YouTube and you can just watch and follow.
See, the publishers know they're there. That's one of the reasons they won't let us have books.
Yeah.
So really, you can do that, but you shoot yourself in the foot because you don't get the books.
Should libraries... Yeah. Should we be siding up with...
Well, we're not siding up, but if we did do that, people people who can't afford books won't get them at all.
But why
so at least
you,
they're getting some books, aren't
couldn't
they?
You tell them to go to Google? Why does the library have to tell them to
well,
go to the official?
They could go to Google to get the books.
You're saying they can find it there all free.
Well, we can't tell them that. That's illegal.
No,
so
it's not.
Been put in prison.
No,
it's
not. It's not as simple
well,
as illegal.
Well, sorry, if I come out and put that on our website, I'd be sacked the
you're
next morning.
You're sacked, again, it's a question of legality there.
No, I'm
we can talk about it.
It is illegal,
infringing copyrights.
Well, you
is term, but you get,
I think it's okay to have the discussion.
There is no, no, no.
I don't think it should be there, but it is there, and we've got the choice. Yeah, we could not offer any.
So
the
we just deny
all
that.
The
I think we've got about 50,000 people who've downloaded books. Those people would have been able to enjoy our books if we hadn't signed up with them. I don't like the DRM. That's why we're trying to work and oppose it with the government. Whether they'll do anything, I don't know. You could all write to the government. Why don't you?
In Holland, they just banned libraries lending e-books yesterday, I think.
Yeah, it was
really?
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Just said no.
Yeah,
sorry, who?
Like, so if situation, I think you don't like the situation, I think it's really bad. But libraries have entered into these partnerships because they say, well, we need you to lend e-books to people. This is the only way we can do it.
So,
it's
all right, Wart.
Wart,
can I just... There was a point which was raised here about should we be... telling people about the fact that they can crack them or not, and will publishers stop giving to libraries? I mean, this
they
is...
Let me just...
So this is the...
2010, all those popular authors we can't get now. Penguin have pulled out, HarperCollins have pulled out, Random House, so you see on the... You probably think that sorry's rubbish, but it's because
you
can't get them.
So my...
They've got wind of people doing what you're doing.
My point is that this isn't just...
Yeah.
This isn't just a library.
Do you buy HarperCollins books? In your library, have you got HarperCollins books? Have you got Random House books? They're the top publishers. You have to buy their books.
So, if I can...
We did say at a meeting, why don't we all not buy any books for a year? But then the public wouldn't tolerate that, would they? We'd have to buy
them.
I think there's two interesting points there. The first is... If you don't have a copy of a book, this isn't just a problem with libraries. So if you go to Waterstones or Nook or even Amazon and buy their digital books, those use exactly the same lock and key mechanism. They can be cracked. So here is, apologies for the adverts. This is the Pirate Bay, which I've accessed through this Wi-Fi network. Here are all the copies of Girl with the Dragon Tattoo as an e-book format. If I can't get it through my local library and I don't feel like paying the $5.99 or whatever, I will go elsewhere. Obviously, I won't go elsewhere, but the reading public might. But so I think there is an interesting and potentially valid strategy about should libraries be talking about putting culture under lock and key and saying the reason putting
we
on their.
We don't want to. Libraries don't.
But so you were saying should we not buy any books for a year? If you were to put a big banner on your e-book library thing and list the books there and say. HarperCollins will not let you lend this book to a friend
that.
And none of that.
That to
and does it have an effect?
They say, oh, I'll go and buy it. So the people who come to us and can't get it, they just go, 90% of people have the Kindle like you. Mm. They don't do these
indeed.
Does your
they
Twitter and
go
Facebook
buy Kindle?
Try and get your user community
there is
to
a group
as well?
There's an e-book group that's been just been set up of like library workers and librarians and different people. And their first blog post was 85% of published books aren't available as e-books to libraries. And they're trying to get a bit more... They're trying to draw attention to it now. But, I mean, you know.
So for academic libraries, is it the same problem?
Well, there's an interesting thing. I was looking at... Shakespeare, early folios of Shakespeare, in fact, first folios of Shakespeare, and the University of South Wales, or possibly New South Wales, one of the South Waleses, has a beautiful scan of the first folio. Now, can anyone tell me when the first folio was printed, Shakespeare's first folio?
1682.
1680, yeah, about then, you win an extra donut. Now, here's the thing, something that old, you would expect no longer under copyright. You would be wrong. The scans... of the first folio are now claimed under copyright. So if you go to the New South Wales, now you can right click and you can save the image, which is what I wanted to do. I just wanted to grab a screenshot. Well, no, I was looking for, there's actually a very early smiley, an emoticon in one of Shakespeare's first folios. That's by the by. But right at the bottom, it said copyright University of South Wales 2007, whenever they scanned it, no reproduction without authorization, whatever the scan. This is Shakespeare's first folio. The book is so old. The text itself is long out of copyright. But what they claim is a transformative work. Someone who's better boned up of copyright will tell me. So the act of, for example, taking a photo in the National Gallery of a painting creates a new copyrighted work. So if I were to go to the first folio and take my own photos, I could do that, and that would now be copyright me. There's an interesting thing when we were talking about hidden collections. I don't know if any of you were in the hidden collections talk. Was okay, so you've got these really ancient books, and you're beginning to scan them, but as soon as you say, well, we now have the copyright over this, it's like, but it is so old. It is literally the idea of public domain. Once it reaches, okay, now it's 70 years plus the life of the author, plus 10 years, plus whatever you can be bothered to pay, but Shakespeare's work is definitely in the public domain. Charles Dickens' work is definitely in the public domain. Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's work, almost in the public domain. So there's some things, some of his books are not public domain in America yet, and the Arthur Conan Doyle estate is, I think, either being sued or asked to say that they won't sue people for making books about, or, you know, sequels to these things. You know, this idea of an official sequel to these Sherlock Holmes books is ridiculous. But so we have this other thing of... Now, Surrey Libraries is quite good about this, because they use Project Gutenberg. Has everyone heard of Project Gutenberg? Yeah.
So, on our site, the ones you get are not the full Gutenberg, but we offer that link.
Exactly, yeah.
So we offer that link. We always wanted to do that, but we haven't got... we'd like to do our own Project Gutenberg catalogue, but we haven't got staff to do it.
Yeah.
So hence we jumped at having that link.
And I have to say, I think the Overdrive system is good enough, just about. It allows me to download a book that I want, stick it onto my e-reader with minimal fuss, read it, and I don't have to worry about clicking around to return it. It will automatically return. It does the job, but I don't think it does the job well enough. And it ties back into this... who was it who coined the phrase about the enclosure of the commons? So when you have things like Shakespeare's work saying, well, this scan of Shakespeare's work is now copyright. If you want to view the first folio, you have to pay this library. If you want to reproduce it, you have to get copyright clearance. If you want to lend the book that you've borrowed from the library to your mum, you can't.
Yeah, but she could take it out.
Well, she can't. There's a waiting list for it. What I'm saying is, oh, I've borrowed it for 2 weeks.
Yeah,
I can read it.
List, so why should your mum have it?
Imagine if it was a physical book. I read this book in a week. I would hand it to her. She'd read it in a week, then hand it back. We've kind of got this idea. There's
it's
two.
It's not the same model. It's a totally
exactly.
different
it's
model.
Trying to apply.
It's trying to apply. But it's there at the moment.
It's there at the moment.
It is there.
And we are fighting to have it taken on, but it's there at the moment. Either you offer it or you don't. But
so what do people think?
I think we shouldn't offer it. I think we should all pull out of our contracts with Overdrive and eBooks. No one signed.
We're offering a service.
Just a second. Just there and then there.
We kind of sat back because we were watching what's going on. And I don't think we'd be offering a decent service to our customers and our users at all. So why would we be paying Overdrive thousands and thousands of pounds to deliver something that actually isn't that great?
Mm. Mm.
And the fear that you're being left out.
Yeah. Mm. And Sue, your point was... Sorry.
Well, we should look into ways of pulling out of our contracts with Overdrive or Askews or ever doing it, because the service isn't good enough. That's not Overdrive's fault. It's just that I think there's a list of 2,000 publishers they produce that their pitches that they show you that you can get, but there's only about 3 big publishers on there. It's all weird American stuff that you've never heard of.
Maybe you should be telling people to change their reading habits. So
when you speak,
lower publishers.
Yeah, well, yeah, but when you speak,
lower reading the stuff.
Yeah, it's another.
So maybe that's the way to go. Anti-top publishers.
Yeah,
we're all saying against behaviour. If you start to go totally against what the whole behaviour is moving toward, isn't that a
Well,
bad?
You see, there's an interesting point. You can do what Amazon do, which is, if you like this book, you may also like. Now, what you could say is, you want to read, you've typed in Harry Potter, we don't have Harry Potter. You may like... These three, Terry Pratchett, or this, or...
We put lists of URLs on our blog of free Kindle books, different genres that you can get, because we know...
People ask
if
like, no,
that's very interesting. So if someone comes, which library are you?
Plymouth.
So if someone comes to Plymouth Library and says, I should like an ebook copy, or I want to read
ebooks.
You say, here are the free Kindle resources, and here's Gutenberg.
Yeah,
that's very interesting.
Because when you speak to the public about it, they're generally horrified. In the same way that the member of the public, who are really upset when they buy a Kindle, and they're under the impression that the books that they've had, they'll be able to treat in exactly the same way, and then it's when it gets to the end of your life, for want of a better phrase there, your library that you've spent however many thousands of pounds on, you poof. It's just gone. They can't pass that on to anybody. When people are beginning to understand it, when the members of the public are understanding the limitations of copyright and what it actually means, they feel like they've been duped. I mean, I've said for a while, we should just say, come to be quite frankly, do the DRM-free stuff, get taken to court, get...
the publicity.
Take it and just go, look, we are able... Our raison d'etre, what we are here for, is to encourage reading. And if the public sees, if it's a choice in that, who are they going to vote for? The public librarian who wants to help reading, or let's say Rupert Murdoch, who's in charge of HarperCollins, who are they going to side with? Legally, the law and the courts will side with HarperCollins and Rupert Murdoch and all the big guys. But emotionally, and that's when the change can happen. That's when, if there's enough people find out about it, and enough people start going, actually, no, something is wrong with this system, something is wrong with this. A lot of people just aren't aware of it. And when it comes to e-books, one last point. When people get access to a digital archive, they don't just want one book. When people get access to a digital archive, their eyes are bigger than their belly, and they go, gimme, gimme, gimme. And they will take out 20 items and read half of one. And then when that 3 weeks, they'll take out another 20 items. And while they're taking those 20 items out, nobody else can bother. They don't understand. They see digital as it should be. They see digital as like you can have as many copies as you want.
I think, Jodie, did you have something to say there?
No, I was going to say that when I promote the digital library because we have OneDrive, everyone's really excited, even when they know they have a limit. And I had someone yesterday, they had a reading group book and I couldn't get hold of the print version. I said, oh, but look, it's on the digital library. And she was just like, wow.
And
so,
I
you know, even
that.
Though it has so many restrictions, I still think
we should lose sight of that.
In the academic library at work, we push and push and push our e-books. Everybody needs the same thing at the same time.
Yeah.
So we can say, all 40 of you can now go read this. There are different problems.
Yeah.
Can I just make a point about what's legal and what's not legal? Those the points. You know, we've been here before with music industry and Napster, but all that slight illegality, at the other end of it, we come out in music now with new ways of actually accessing music. You know, Spotify owes a lot to the movement that was illegally downloading music, because we arrived at a point where it made it easier to pay something for music or get it free. And that's where libraries and books, everyone's going through that tunnel.
That's right.
A little bit of an illegality. Now there'll be new ways of doing it. It's just transition.
I do wonder, and this is obviously, this gets me daggers thrown at me when I say this to librarians, is there a future for libraries when e-books are the norm? Because why would you, A, go to a physical building, but B, choose to borrow from a library? So, for example, how many of you used to offer video games to borrow at libraries? A while ago. My library did. It stopped because people were just... They were cheap enough to buy it and people would download them. The same with music CDs and DVDs.
CDs were slowly phasing out.
Slowly phasing out. At what point will you phase out books?
But when you're done with e-book...
No, you still have a library is way more.
I agree, but in terms of if the majority of people are sporting one of these, and they can.
Well, we need to go into e-books.
Yeah.
But you make your library an environment where you come with your devices, where you're safe, where it's warm, where it's free, where you give them so much free printing and. IT and tech, they want to be in that. It's a physical space. You're offering a lot more.
It is the idea of a library. The library as a repository, I won't say it's dead, but the need for it...
you are getting some very evil looks there.
Purely as a repository.
You know why? Because there's a bigger, better repository.
Yeah.
It's all there, and that's great. Yeah. And they can read it.
From a children's librarian standpoint, I'd really think picture books, though, are quite hard at the moment to protect digitally.
Yes, I would agree.
I think it's still very much safe.
I think picture books, maps.
Chew that. Have you seen that? Yeah, they have a chew. They do. You know.
This is very true. So,
and if you have that space, I think you remember those values to be like, you know what, I'm not getting rid of this because this really matters. The other stuff, you have to just keep thinking about it.
It's another challenge. It's another challenge. It's something else that makes libraries, to me, really exciting to work at.
So I don't do the back. I'm front of house mm-hmm. stuff. I don't do the e-books. And we push them in the academic libraries hugely. How are ours working when everybody gets it all at the same time and then suddenly they we only have so much access, like they can get opened 500 times or something and then they go?
Okay, so the main thing to remember is, are these read on the screen or on an e-book or a tablet? Or?
Everybody reads them on their own devices.
On their own device. So one of the things that, what will happen is you have a back-end system and every time someone requests it, a little counter goes down.
Yes.
Now, the easy way around that is the print screen button on your on your laptop or desktop. Now, of course, that doesn't save the text, it just saves an image, but if what you're looking at is, you know, you're happy to read like that, you don't need to search through it.
No,
if it's a PDF, you can break the DRM on that as well. If someone's giving you basically, if someone is giving you a file, mm-hmm. which is locked, and they're giving you the key, if you go onto the internet and type in how to crack PDF DRM,
sure.
you will find it. Where it's slightly different is if you're viewing on a web page, they're putting a picture up one at a time. Now again, on most of them you can right click, save as, you've got that picture. Mm-hmm. Or you can automate it, print screen, next page, print screen, next page. It's a bit of a drag, but the key thing to remember is...
People will.
And it only takes one... Yeah.
I did actually recommend it to Stuart. I said, you didn't hear that from me, but you could do that. You know.
But
I know someone that's downloaded some books, thousands of books, onto someone's pen drive in a library.
There's two things to remember. One, it only takes one person. Once I have cracked this DRM here, I wouldn't, because I'm a nice guy, I could put it on the Pirate Bay or somewhere else, or email it to all my friends. And hey presto, they've got it. So it doesn't matter how hard it is, as long as one person got it. The other thing is, this is always my favourite example, I won't do it with my phone, but this is my pen drive, conveniently shaped like a bottle opener. This is what all librarians need.
So this is... me if I came in and opened your door, got your key to your house and came in your house?
Yeah, absolutely. That's fine.
I don't agree with DRM, but I'm saying... we can't just go around...
That's a really good point, and let me address that in just one second. The first is, this is a 32 gig USB key, which is, it's like 14 quid, no, it's like a tenner on Amazon. So 32, that's 32,000 million, it's like a lot of books. I mean, if a book is about a megabyte, this holds 32 million books. How many books does your library hold? 32 million? No? This is a better library than your library. Now, the second thing is... I can find out, because I did ask Surrey, and they've got more books in Surrey Library than I could fit on my pen drive, but not by a lot. And the 64-gig pen drives are only 30-odd quid. They'll be half that price next year. Now, the question comes down, as you were asking, about the morality of copying and taking. The first thing to realise is, when you copy a file, the person who you're copying it from still has the original. If you come and take my car... I do not have my car anymore. If you were to come to my car and you were to copy...
I mean, because I don't agree with the DRM, but I do think something needs to be done so that, like the PLR, the public lending
I would quite agree with that,
I think that's their livelihood. I mean, I don't know where you work, but do you want to go back to work tomorrow and work for nothing?
But that's
are people doing that, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're volunteering to be here today as well.
I know, but you've got to be. I can't work my job for nothing, sorry.
Can I just reiterate the point? I think this is the tunnel we're going through. We're going to come out of this at another end where people can be rewarded, but it might not always be money.
Hopefully it'll be a fairer system where more people, instead of having this system where you do get a few authors or a few artists or a few musicians with huge amounts of income, you've got a huge amount of authors with a reasonable amount of income there. I don't want authors to starve. I don't want artists to starve. I want them to be able to enjoy the job and to be able to live and live a happy, fulfilling life. But without, I don't think they need another wing to the house. I don't think they need that Learjet X-Force.
I think too, rather than because they're allowing
your average
people
author,
who would go to the big publishers, say, Who's no that? Thanks, but they could publish.
Mind bender.
So we've got 50 minutes left. So I just want to move this. In just to the closing phase. So just to pick up on what you said, I tweeted Surrey Libraries, this was this time last year, they said at the end of last year we had 1.7 million books in stock in Surrey Libraries and Woking Library had 74,000. So Woking Library has enough books to fill a 74 gig hard drive. Now you go down Tottenham Court Road later and try and find a hard drive that small, you won't do it. You know, a library collection can now fit in your pocket. But what I want to do as we move into the closing stages, does anyone especially those who haven't said much or anything, does anyone have anything that they want to talk about in relation to DRM that hasn't been covered?
Yeah, I mean, so, for example, when the Kindles were a bit more popular and people were getting them at Christmas, for the first time they came out, and then very, very disappointed coming into the library, you're on the inquiry desk, and they say, so we want to use, and you're like, really serious? And they're getting angry with you.
Yeah.
They feel like they've been duped. They do feel like they've been duped. So, legally, what can we say? I mean, I really don't want to get my collar felt. I don't.
Well, can
I say to them?
You're telling me to blame it on Amazon.
Yeah, just
blame it on Amazon. There's two things. One is you can say Amazon won't let you.
Amazon do say this is what you can do to access this stuff.
That's what we do.
And then you instruct your staff to say that?
I print out lists of places you can get free e-books.
I think that's right.
They're legitimate free.
Yeah. So what you're saying is here is how you can borrow a book from us, break the DRM, and convert it to work on the Kindle. So I have no idea. I would speak to your council's legal department, is the honest answer. I mean, honestly, if you were to say to someone, if you go onto Google, you can find out how.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's enough to say, well, that's an illegal statement. I honestly don't know. I mean, the thing is that anyone with half a brain, and hopefully people visiting libraries have at least that, is going to say, well, hang on, there must be a way, and they'll type into Google.
Anyone under 20?
Anyone under 20?
True, because it's now, about the older.
Yeah. Honestly, I mean, if it were me, I'd do it, but I'm a rebel, and I don't work in the library, so I can't get fired from the library.
No, maybe most people are going to walk away and not get anything.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And also, something you don't want to, because they feel like they're taking it away from the library, and they're so supportive of libraries that they kind of feel like they don't want to do that. The point I want to make is that
they walk away with not a bad impression of Amazon or Kindle, but with a bad impression of us.
I think it is worse.
We do that, but they feel that they've been duped. And we've got an e-library, but the device that they've bought or have been bought and they've spent a lot of money on is not compatible with the e-books that we can lend them. You can do,
almost definitely, is it's very easy to print a pamphlet. Your Kindle and your ebook library, which explains Kindle will not allow XYZ, Overdrive will not allow XYZ.
Yeah,
we cannot tell you how to go and convert our books to.
Right.
I don't know how that gets around running out of PC
that no one knows how it got logged into their page.
Maybe the fact that if you can actually have that discussion with people, and so that people, that the public and lawyers and publishers will see the ridiculousness of the situation.
If you've got a pamphlet which says, we can't do this, and we can't tell you how to do it, here's who you need to write. Who's the Secretary of State for Libraries or Culture?
Yeah.
Well, just something which says...
That's what the review's done, because it has said in the review, when we wrote our thing, we said people who know what they're doing can go on and do that. We've put this to the government. It's all part of that review, because people were allowed to give feedback. Even the public could have given feedback.
Yeah.
Ask the public to do that.
If you know there's going to be disappointments, you've got to get there first before the disappointment.
Anything else from this side of the room before we have to break for lunch, Claire? No.
No, it's good.
Sue, I'm naming everyone so you're all accomplices.
Another Jodie.
So, and Richard and
Kathy.
And Kathy and
Elif
have all been part of this illegal discussion. And when the police come, it was them what made me do it. Discussion is not illegal. The free exchange of ideas should be preserved. Thank you very much for your time, everyone. Thank you.
That's great.
Thank you very much for the donor.
All be locked as
you've got a message, I think.